Welcome to the Watch OK Please podcast, a podcast where three friends try to convince each other to devote what little time they have left to watch more TV and or movies than they've ever wanted to watch. Please join us while we argue about our media cues and waste everyone's valuable time on things that just don't matter. Hey folks, welcome back for another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. On today's episode, Dan and I will give our feedback on the reboot of the classic Disney series, DuckTales, available on Disney+. Then we switch gears and networks to Dan's pitch of the DC series that was originally aired on the CW, Black Lightning, which is currently available on Netflix. I realize there is no way you would have known what shows we were talking about from the title of this episode, which is Only the Strong versus Donald P. Belisario et al., but life is a pointless adventure filled with underwhelming surprises. So let's get ready for some irrelevant nonsense.
All right, so we're here now for the So What Did You Think segment for DuckTales. And this is the rebooted DuckTales that we're talking about. All three seasons are now on Disney+. And the original DuckTales series is also on Disney+. So this is one of my favorite kind of recent discoveries for a TV show. And I'm really interested to hear, Dan and Ian, what do you think?
So for starters, I just want to say that I'm glad that we all agree to not say, woo, whenever DuckTales is, the word DuckTales is being said, because otherwise we'd never get through this review.
Thank God. Thank God.
Yeah. I think we can all agree that that's pretty much implied.
Right. So in any case, I got done watching all three of those episode recommendations, and everything you said about the episodes was pretty true. There's a lot. It's like, you know, the plot is simple enough for basically younger people to understand very much, but there's also a lot nestled in there that adults can kind of chew on a little bit as well, which was kind of neat. So it was definitely a lot of fun. Very easy to get the episodes kind of went by for me very quickly. I have to say, like, everything you said about, you know, how that works out, you know, in the episodes was pretty much dead on. So I had a good time.
I believe the ones that I chose are pretty easy to follow, even though I jumped around between the different episodes. So did you think that that was the case as well?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that the choices were good too. I mean, they kind of were own separate and distinct plot lines. It seems to me, at least. I mean, but you know, you had the cameo of Flintheart Glomglode in one of the episodes, and that was obviously really neat. So it's really neat to kind of get, you know, and then Launchpad obviously making his you know, in there as well. So you had, you know, throwbacks for sure, which was cool.
Nine.
So in terms of, I enjoyed the show, and I appreciated watching it. Like, it was a cool throwback to, you know, to the DuckTales that I remember. And I loved a lot of the voice actors. I liked a lot of what they did, especially in the Quack Pack episode.
Yeah.
I really liked how meta they got with that. That was really impressive.
WandaVision.
Yeah, right?
It does really remind you of WandaVision.
But that said, like, I mean, I appreciate all the voice acting. I this isn't something I'd go out of my way to watch. Like, I wouldn't. The only reason I may end up watching this series in its entirety is because my wife actually wants to watch it from the beginning because she loves David Tennant. When I told her about that we were watching random episodes, she was like, "Why can't we just watch this from the beginning?" I was like, "That's not how podcasting works."
We have a plan. We have a plan.
We have a terrible plan.
The problem is that she's more of like the Dewey or the Louie to our Hueys here, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, actually, no, that brings up a really good point, Dan. So I think we need to decide between the three of us who is who of the triplets.
Oh, that's great question. Eh?
Yeah.
I think I'm more of a Dewey, kind of just trying to figure things out, but like willing to, you know, to go on some adventures, but also wanting to just kind of be independent and do your own thing.
No, I totally get that. Yeah.
So Nyan, which one do you think you would be?
I have no idea because I don't remember their names as it corresponds with the personalities, because I'm always just like color, duck. Well,
Huey is the proverbial Boy Scout of them because he's got the book.
Oh, okay. And
so he's the organized one.
Right.
And Louie is the one who wears a hoodie a lot and is like always trying to find a get rich quick scheme.
Oh, that's not me. So I guess I'm Junior Woodchuck.
Yes, I think I could see that. And then Dan would be Louie.
Yeah,
I could buy that.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this why I say Dogecoin to the moon?
Dan, you just lost your life savings.
Yeah. Sorry.
That definitely sounds like a Louie move for sure.
Yeah. Well, at least I didn't, you know, throw all my money in the other, you know, altcoin, Shiba Inu, that which went horribly wrong.
Oh, did you not go hard into stop Elon?
No.
Wait, are you familiar with Stop Elon?
Yeah.
Oh my god. About it. What nuts.
Do re Elon. Sorry.
Well, I was also going to say, Nine, that obviously your wife has excellent taste in wanting to watch the entire series.
Yes.
And there are, you know, several plot lines that do run throughout the show and throughout the seasons. Just these particular episodes aren't really heavy on that. But which I think is good. It's like sometimes, you know, it kind of offers the best of both worlds. If you wanted to see them in order and follow the larger story arcs, you can. But if you aren't interested in that, you can just pick and choose episodes like I did and still really get a lot out of it.
True. Yeah. And I'm with you, Nyan, about the voice acting as well. I definitely, you know, they definitely picked some really awesome people for it.
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%. And I mean, I appreciate their approach to it. Like, I liked how they tried to keep it fresh and, excuse me, other cliches. But also, I mean, they really did take it did truly feel like a reboot that stayed true to the original and expanded on it. And actually had something to say as opposed to just rehashing a bunch of stuff. Like, oh, a sitcom that kind of embodied the Quack Pack episode, like in a weird meta way. Like, if it was like the sitcom in Quack Pack, I would not be interested in the show.
right.
But the fact that, you know, they made a whole episode about it being a trap was fascinating. And so I think they did a good job. I didn't get enough of a hook to like, it's pulled me in and I want to watch more. I mean, I will watch it if my wife wants to watch it from the beginning. I'm happy to do that. But I guess it's just not something that pulls me in and makes me immediately want to go watch it the rest of it right away. Mm-hmm. It's not bad, but I don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the genre, I can definitely see that. Cause I think as a genre perspective, if you're in for a mood of something specifically, right. This is not something that, you know, that I think that you would immediately say, yes, I want to watch this specific series. Whereas basically if you're in the mood for, say, dark comedy, for example, you know, you're going to seek out some, it's going to go along those lines. Whereas this is like, well, this kind of has bits of adventure and levity and other things like that in it, but it's not a genre per se, other than the fact that it's animation basically.
Right.
I can contrast it with what I do feel. I started watching MODOK on Hulu.
Oh yeah.
And I really want to keep watching that.
That's on deck for me.
Yeah, like I think about that show quite a bit because we're off topic, but it's so well written, like it is so good, and I think maybe it's just that's the style of humor I'm at in my life. This is a good show, but it's not one I'm going to like actively go after,
right?
Yeah, I can see that. Well, it's good too in that the episodes are pretty short, like Dan mentioned, so you can really just kind of drop it or pick it up if you are at your leisure, so to speak, kind of whenever the mood strikes. So it's kind of pretty good.
Exactly. You got multiple profiles in your Disney Plus. You can have a separate profile, then you don't have to worry about, you know, stepping on someone else's watching toes.
There you go.
That is true.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to ask you about some questions about MODOK later as it relates to what kind of audience would enjoy it. Because I'm seeing a lot of people that have in the kind of what I call the comic sweaty community versus like a kind of the middle ground or the normie community that have their own kind of opinions on it. But then there are another time. But yeah, no, yeah, but it's as far as like, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I definitely enjoyed the way the voice actors articulated their voices, because I mean, I knew kind of who was who, because we also had the cast list of who's who, but at the same time, like, they kind of took on their own distinct personalities and you know, and you know, approach to it, which I really appreciated. I mean, because, you know, I knew, you know, Kate Micucci was in there, and yet, like, when I heard her, it wasn't distinctly Kate Micucci, you know, just being her. It was her actually, you know, full on immersing herself in this character, which I really appreciated.
You know, I felt the same way about Bobby Moynihan.
Moynihan is great too. I agree.
I felt like on SNL whenever I saw him there, like, it was always like, oh, that's Bobby Moynihan. It feels like a very distinct, like, I didn't get a lot of range, but this was like, yeah. Oh no, he really stepped into it. Like, he's not just playing himself. I was impressed in that regard, like, in terms of the voice acting, like, yeah, folks were playing themselves.
Yeah, and David Tennant, I think, just does such a great job as Scrooge.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He gives him like this really, he provides like such a range of emotions, like from being exasperated with whatever the triplets are doing, to then really being like, adventurous and really like wanting to kind of expand on his empire and just kind of go after all these treasures and things like that.
Or someone spending $251.47 on lunch.
That's right. Yes. Which apparently even for a billionaire like Scrooge can be a bit
off-putting.
Yeah, exactly.
But if he had just brought a coupon, I think it would have been fine.
Yeah, I got the 20% coupon from like Value Pack. Can you honor it for me, please?
Right. Yeah, that's the thing you could see Scrooge doing too. The stories I think are clever and enjoyable, and also they like Dan was saying, they do try to work in some lessons there, like for kids, but also have enough like things for adults to catch on to and to enjoy as well.
Yeah, I was trying to decide like, you know, what kind of Easter egg that I liked the most out of the episodes. I couldn't figure out one off the top of my head, but there's I mean, obviously, you know, the whole Beaks thing on the first episode you gave us to watch about the internship was pretty hilarious on a number of levels.
Yes, and just like the way that they set it up, and then without giving away the ending, but the twist at the end was pretty awesome. It was just like a great commentary on that type of like the internet evaluation. Social media culture. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. There, it had so many different layers to it, but I'm like, yep, I see that. Yeah, I say, I'm happy to say that they did not address the TikTok thought situation. So they left that one off the table. So I give them kudos for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a lot of thoughts in this show.
Well, not in the episodes that we watched, I'd say.
That's true. Yeah. Maybe it was just not those episodes. Not a lot of thought action. But hey, it's probably for the best, right? Like, cause
yeah.
Every once in a while, TikTok's really helpful, but mostly not.
I'd say that's probably true of the little I know about TikTok.
Yeah, yeah.
I read an entire Life Hacker article today about how of 12 things that TikTok fitness people tell you to do, 12 things that they tell you to do that are complete myths and wrong. A lot of it's around just how doing exercises. So I wouldn't get your exercise routine from TikTok is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But do get it from David Tennant, because he seems to be in really good shape.
Yeah,
I brought it back to DuckTales, you guys.
Yeah, you know, good. I'm glad. To hear that.
Exactly.
Or maybe I bought it to Broadchurch. Who knows?
Yeah, true.
Like, what I want to see is a Broadchurch DuckTales crossover. I think that's what we need. Yeah, why isn't that happening?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, here's the thing. They did the Archer and Bob's Burgers crossover. So
right.
So nothing's impossible at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you do a Doctor Who Broadchurch. Jessica Jones, just a big David Tennant crossover.
I was going to say all David Tennant characters.
Yeah. David Tennant plays a let's see. I'm just trying to think what kind of animal would he be? So I'd say he'd be like a, you know, Kilgrey would have to be some sort of like a something in the mongoose family, perhaps, maybe in a purple suit.
Oh God,
I'm imagining it now.
And Nyan, since you mentioned Darkwing Duck before, he does make several appearances actually in other DuckTales.
Oh, that's right. See, that I would be curious about. Like, I want to see what happened there. Like
that, and that's one of the. I'll try to find out which episode it is to let you know, because that was also a really interesting one.
And I also saw a thumbnail with Gizmo Duck too.
Yep, Gizmo Duck is there. Mrs. Beakley, who's Webby's grandmother, I think.
Yeah.
You know what? I'd actually be curious. Maybe, Bobby, have you seen the entire series?
I have seen the first two seasons, and I'm partway through the third.
Okay. Because the question I have is, so the original DuckTales NES game is iconic. Did you guys play that?
I think I
actually did. Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
Like, it's revered as like one of the best NES games ever, which is so weird for a licensed property. But I was just wondering if at any point in the series they ever reference the NES game, because they talked about being on the moon, and I was like, oh, whoa, are they referencing the NES game?
Oh,
and
they didn't get into it. That could be. I mean, I'd love to hear from like the episode writer on that, because it wouldn't surprise me if that was an Easter egg.
It very well could be. I don't recall off the top of my head that they reference it directly, but you never know. But what I also like especially in the Three Caballeros episode, mm-hmm. is how they work Donald into the show. And like really make him a part of the family, which is really cool. And he really plays a central role, which was, I always thought was interesting or a little weird about the original DuckTales, is that he just kind of drops the triplets off with Scrooge and then gets out of there. And that's pretty much it.
Well, like most parents, yeah.
Yeah, you know, to dropping them off on someone else's doorstep. But he really is like a really fleshed out character. Throughout the series, which is really cool.
Yeah, but above all else, you know, he will do anything he can to protect his family.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he really does care for Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yeah,
as much as he messes things up.
If I could do it right now, I would like do the, you know, I do the Donald Duck doing an impression of Liam Neeson saying he has a particular set of skills. That'd be amazing. I can't do it.
That was interesting.
So, Dan, did your kids get to watch this at all?
No. Unfortunately, they were both occupied at that moment. But yeah.
Okay. I'm interested to see what they think of it if they get.
Yeah, I want their opinions. Do they have their own podcasts? I'm assuming they do.
they must.
Well, hey, like we could be the launching off point for their podcast.
True. Although they probably would want it to be shorter, so they might have to end up being on TikTok.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah, that I don't know. I don't know if they're quite ready for that yet.
Yeah, short snippets. Yeah.
Oh, they could do TikTok.
There you go. All right. Well, it's really great to hear your thoughts, and everyone out there listening to this, if you do get a chance to check out the new DuckTales, I think you definitely should.
Yep. Last night I saw a superhero. He was black. He said, "This is for the street. Black Lightning's back."
That's the whole review.
That's it.
Thank you for coming. that's the opening line from the opening thing by God Holly entitled Black Lightning and whatnot to the superhero drama television series Black Lightning on the CW. So for those of you who don't know about the CW, it is a yet another subsection of the DC universe kind of thing. And it is its own universe. It is separate and distinct from the DCEU and separate and distinct from the animated universe as well. So this was you know, originally a comics book title, and they basically brought it over in 2018. It's now in its fourth and final season. Which is kind of why I want to talk about it right now. There's the CW is, you kind of started out with Arrow, aka the Green Arrow, and then it branched off into other series, The Flash, the Legends of Tomorrow, and also there's kind of sub fractions off of Vixen, and Supergirl is brought into this universe as well. So there's also kind of Now, Stargirl is the latest entry into that one as well, which is another kind of, you know, although it's not 100% clear how that worked vis-a-vis the multiverse and whatnot, that was that it was affected in one part of the series, so to speak. So, but yeah, it's on the CW, but all of it's available on Netflix, and you also watch some of it on the CW as well. So, basic premise is that it focuses on the lead character, Jefferson Pierce, who's a principal of a high school in Freeland, Georgia. And he basically was a superhero named Black Lightning, and he retired from basically being said superhero, basically to, you know, be able to preserve his life with his family and to kind of, you know, continue to, you know, be a part of the quote unquote normal society, if you will. So Freeland is kind of, you know, in itself basically is very intriguing because it is kind of an amalgamation of Atlanta meets Detroit kind of thing, which is kind of interesting and whatnot. So, but yeah, this is basically starts out with him, you know, kind of really coming to grips basically with his previous life and how he might have to basically come back into his current life. So it's a very interesting, there's a lot of drama, a lot of like kind of, you know, psychology, introspection kind of thing that goes into this as well, but in addition to the action. And that's kind of, you know, but what I most liked about this is that it's not just basically another white guy at the helm, basically, because I wanted to see like another perspective in that regard, you know. And, you know, it's, and if you thought about it, you know, even Legends of Tomorrow at first started with Arthur Darvill, you know, and get me wrong, I love Arthur Darvill to death, you know, but at the same time, it's like, it's now refreshing that, you know, we now have a lady at the helm. So it's just seeing a little bit of a different story and whatnot. So, and that's kind of what drew me to this show. Now, most of the people in most of the actors in the show, you may or may not know from other places, but, for those of you who are, fans of the original Mortal Kombat movies or of Dexter, you might know James Remar. So he makes a little kind of, you know, occasional drop into the series here and there. So that was a great little kind of like thing, like, oh yeah, I know that guy, you know.
Does he just show up like Dexter's dad and kind of just randomly gives advice? Like,
it's not too dissimilar in some ways, basically, but he has his own demons and character arc that he struggles with as well. Everyone who is involved with either the Pierce family or as an extensive, you know, beyond that, kind of has their own like mini character arcs in a lot of ways, and they all delve into different issues, basically ranging from, you know, substance abuse to you know, in through, you know, how you deal with, you know, the morals and ethics as it relates to meta humans and whatnot. There's also other, you know, more kind of, I'd say, urban type issues, gang warfare, and whatnot. And there's also, you know, whole other sub arcs basically as it comes to that. And so it gives you a very big spread. And it's a little, again, it's not like this, there is social commentary in it, but it's not necessarily the main focus. It is kind of more of a backdrop to a lot of the series and whatnot, which is what I really enjoy about it. You know, over again, you know, the first season to me was extremely strong. Second season was pretty good too. Third and fourth seasons got a little bit crazier as, you know, they started to kind of meld through Crisis of Infinite Earths, which was a special that was run during its third season. And, you know, that's a whole, again, for those of you who know what Crisis is all about, you could probably listen to Kevin Smith's Fat Man podcast. I believe he talks about it at length. And he also had a whole special he did with the CW that he interviewed all the people, you know, that were involved with it in DC. And there's a whole, again, this is a subsection of a larger universe, basically. So if you at all are a DC fan, basically, there's a lot that you can kind of pull from this because there's little Easter eggs, and, you know, they mention other cities like Central City, and they mention, so you definitely understand that this is definitely part of that universe, so to speak. And that's kind of, you know, one of the many reasons why I enjoy it. The lead actor, Cress Williams, I think he is, you know, he's well spoken, poised. He's extremely tall. I think I gotta believe, and he's stoic. And but yet he himself, even though he is poised as, you know, a high school principal and, you know, a leader, so to speak, you know, it shows that he too has his own kind of, you know, things he needs to work through, you know, in life and whatnot. And so, and like I said, I think that there's a lot of really powerful drama in the show. And I think that, you know, the CW gets a really bad, can get a really bad rap, I think, from the other hardcore, you know, fans that are out there that prefer, say, the DCEU, that prefer, say, Batfleck, or, you know, or other, or even, you know, Batfleck, or even, you know, the people that like, you know, the newer shows like Titans, whatnot, which are super edgy and out there, or even like, you know, ones that they want to, or we want people that want to just focus on the characters that they know and love, like your first string Justice League people only, you know, they only want to see Flash, who only want to see Superman, Batman, etc. So that's, you know, kind of, you know, where I'm going with it. I kind of like seeing another character that is basically, you know, this is in Marvel, for example, thrives on this right now. They're very good about taking second or third string characters, and all of a sudden, boom, we're creating content related to these characters that might be more relatable to most people than just say, oh, we're gonna do, you know, Captain America, or for the umpteenth time. So
that makes sense. I'm more of a Loki than a Thor. So I'm glad that series is coming out.
So what are Black Lightning's superpowers?
So as per the name, basically he can control and summon lightning at will from his body. So anything related to lightning, he can basically play with. So, you know, over time, you know, he kind of articulates his powers, because obviously he's been in retirement for a little bit. So he kind of has had to kind of revamp or ramp up to his previous power level, if you will. So it's kind of like a, you know, I wouldn't say Rocky-esque, but basically he does kind of have to get back up to his old speed. Plus he's, you know, he's a good deal older than he was before. So he's no spring chicken, as they say. but again, he does have life experience and experience as a meta, you know, that really kind of goes into everything. And with this lightning, he ends up, you know, developing even more powers. And when he actually gets an actual full on, you know, suit, basically, or suits as time goes on, because it changes. Obviously, everyone gets upgrades over time. You know, he's able to articulate those powers even further and use it to do some pretty incredible things.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love a lot of the CW shows based on DC Comics. Legends of Tomorrow, I think, is a vastly underrated show. Really fun. Arrow was great for a while before it just got kind of repetitive and weird. Supergirl is great. Sadly, it's ending also this year.
Yep.
But yeah, I've only seen Black Lightning in the Crisis on Infinite Earths super crossover.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like what you were saying about how it's kind of just a different take, you know, a superhero that usually doesn't get the spotlight that they're trying to kind of focus on, get more people aware of, which is awesome.
I don't watch any of these shows. Like, I don't like, well, I understand if I just watch Black Lightning in a vacuum, am I going to understand what's going on? I think I will.
But absolutely.
Because I've been to high school and I know what it's like to have a principal. So I feel like I'm halfway there.
There you go. That's a good start.
My high school principal was like a black belt in some form of martial arts. So I don't think he had anything to do with lightning, though. So, I mean,
so he's like, Nyan, are you telling me you're in the movie only the strong?
That's right, I am.
You learned capoeira?
I did.
Wait, is this the second or third time I mentioned this? I feel like I mentioned this prior in a prior conversation.
I mean, yeah, we talked about only the strong just the other day, I think. I mean, I think we're going to have to keep track of how many times we mentioned only the strong or Donald P. Belisario on this podcast. Like,
who's coming on first? Is it going to be Donald or Mark Dacascos? That's what I want to know.
You know what? I don't think you can ever count out Donald P. Belisario. I looked at his Wikipedia article. That dude's never going to die, and he's going to kill us all. Like, he will be the final survivor at the end of the world. Like, I just see him living in a cave, like surrounded by the skulls of his enemies, just living forever.
I love it.
Well, and Dan, so this made me think, how does Black Lightning as a principal measure up to Morgan Freeman in, I always get, is it Stand By Me or Lean On Me? I always get those mixed up.
That it, Lean on Me is the principal one. So
is the principal one. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Stand by Me is River Phoenix and all that whole crew.
Yeah. Gotcha. Just a bunch of kids looking for a dead body.
and you know who else is in that? Will Wheaton.
Oh yeah. And yeah. Corey's.
Yes,
yeah. Corey's, that exactly, movie had a lot of really young stars, but yeah, I was thinking Morgan Freeman in Lean on Me, where he was the principal in New Jersey, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it Newark?
Yeah.
Newark or maybe somewhere around there.
Well, there's a whole, again, think about all the genres that you have, all people that, I think the principal genre is huge, because you've got Lean on Me, you've got Stand and Deliver, mm-hmm. you've got Dangerous Minds, you know, I feel like there's two or three others that I'm not thinking about at the moment.
There's the principal, isn't that Jim Belushi?
Oh, right, principal, yeah, that's right, principal Jim Belushi. But again, for me, he's not a principal, but I can't forget the Key and Peele sketch, you know? You done f***ed up, Aaron.
Mr. Garvey.
Yeah, the substitute teacher, classic. The principal from Breakfast Club.
Oh yeah, totally. See,
yeah, that was a classic.
But that movie was about the Breakfast Club. It wasn't about the principal,
right?
Yeah, but he played a fairly big role in it.
I think you can have an honorable mention in a Netflix, you know, sub-genre category.
Oh, yeah. If there was a follow-up about him, like kind of like Cobra Kai to an extent, like in that vein, where it was just about the principal, I'd be interested in that. I loved how he yelled at those kids, because they all deserve it. And I say that now because I'm middle-aged.
That would be sick, man. Can you imagine like him coming back, you know,
that would be
retired.
So,
he retires really as principal, but becomes like a career counselor. Something like that.
Yeah. Breakfast Club originally came out when we were fairly young, but I remember like seeing it when I was still younger and I was like, yeah, I know these kids are, you know, you side with the kids, I guess, if you watch it first when you're younger. And you're like, yeah, you know, the principal's ridiculous, he's being stupid. But then when you get older, you're like, actually, the kids were real jerks.
Truth. But yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, we're getting back to Black Lightning.
Tangent.
An interesting one.
I guess I don't need to watch the rest of the shows.
Not at all.
Really references to them, but probably you can still understand it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other characters that come in, like again, if you do manage to get through to crossover, you know, through Crisis and Infinite Earths, I think you know who the Flash. You generally know who already knows who the Flash is, pretty much, just because it's pop culture. And then the other characters that are there, basically, you can pretty much pick up what they are or they aren't. Supergirl is, I think, is pretty obvious. You know, because it's, you know, so I think, you know, I mean, if you were to get that far into it, I don't think you have any problem picking up on that. But you know, yeah.
And you made a good point. He's really tall, right? And the taller you are, the better you are as a person. So
apparently,
I'm just saying, like that's my understanding, because that it's basically in the DC universe, not in real life, of course.
Yeah.
But the DC universe, the taller you are, the better you are. Therefore, the shorter you get, you go from Black Lightning to Mr. Mrs. Pitlick, and like as you get shorter, you get worse. And like eventually you get to the midget in Twin Peaks who's trying to be helpful, but will just creep me out to no end and will never stop creeping me out.
This is blowing my mind. I never realized that.
I'm just saying, bro.
Yeah, well, but for the record, you know, I'm counting the Atom at his normal size in that context.
I think that's fair, yeah.
Even so, Ray, what's his, Brandon Routh is still quite tall.
He's pretty tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that, you know, you can gain a lot. I think this is a really, you know, interesting series in that regard. I mean, I think that, I'm not going to say the CW shows are for everybody, because they're not. I think to me, this is more, these series are more character driven, and the action, you know, actually, you know, early on in most of these series was not like, you know, nowhere near movie quality, but as time has gone by, with the specials especially, they've gotten a tremendously lot better, I think.
And so would you say this is a show where you do have to watch the episodes in order, or can you jump around?
I would recommend not watching the episodes in order on this one. Because again, it is more saga-esque. So you can't just, again, there are some episodes that are more episodic, where it's just, you know, kind of villain of the week kind of thing. But like I said, there's a lot of like kind of these sub character arcs that are threaded between different things. And even you see the name, the names of the episodes actually too. There's a lot of really interesting names on, you know, for some of these episodes, and because it all basically, it all stems upon like the book of, you know, chapter this basically. So it definitely, you know, kind of lends itself to that kind of saga mentality, in where you're kind of examining, you know, the rebirth, if you will, of this character.
All right. I'm excited. Yeah. This is one that I really wanted to get into, but just haven't found the time for it yet. So.
Yeah.
I was kind of curious about it. I'm opening to checking it out. I don't think I'm as excited as Scott, but I'm more excited than other people that I don't know. So,
well, and I am, lest we forget the premise of this podcast.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I always forget the premise and I just ramble. So I don't even know why I do anything anymore. So, all right. So I will watch OK, Please. And I will let you know what happens.
Awesome.
Well, we tried. That brings us to the end of another episode of the Watch OK, Please podcast. Please join us next week for another exercise in futility. In the meantime, please rate and review us on iTunes. Or if you didn't listen to this on iTunes, please complain about us on your social media platform of choice. Good night, everybody.